What's up there, technology fans? It's that time of the week. This is episode 46 of Trending Mobile Technology with your host, Piper the DJ. I tell you what, folks, I'm getting antsy. The days are counting down when my new studio is completed, and I will be more than happy to bring you a fresh new episode of Trending Mobile Technology at that time. As always, you can get a hold of me on email and Google Plus as Piper the DJ at gmail.com. We are every week coming to you straight from the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Make sure you give us a look, give us a follow, because we're here with old school at the movies, we're here with the Spanish announce table, we're here with the real news, we're here with a lot of new things. So make sure you check in with us on a regular basis. Additionally, make sure you get into my community, Piper's Tech Talk, where I break down many, many things and discussions. I'm really excited. My community is up to over 28 people, and it just keeps getting, well, a little bit at a time, but it is getting there. Getting right into it, we have a lot of things to get through today. Above none else, the Note 3. Yes, I'm always bragging about my Note 2 and things like that. Well, the Note 3 specs have been officially leaked. And here is what we're looking at. Looking at a 1080p non-flex display. There's nothing been mentioned about flex display at this point in time, but it is a 1080p HD. Looking at a quad-core Snapdragon 800 that's going to be tipping the scales at 2.3 gigs per processor, 330 Adreno GPU, and on software we have confirmed 4.3, which if they put that on the same battery that they had before, this is going to be a massively battery-intensive device. Looking at 3 gigs of RAM, and looks like a 13-megapixel camera in the back, and 4 in the front. 5.9 video display on it. As I said, it is full HD, and a lot of people are kind of raising their eyebrows on this. You know, oh, we want something bigger, we want something bigger. But I think Samsung made a safe move on this one, just for the simple fact that they might be looking at it from the same perspective I'm looking at it. It's getting to be too big. 5.9 inches, you're pushing that mark, okay? You're pushing that line. Is this something that I'm going to be upgrading to? Probably not. Like I said, when I upgraded to my Note 2, I'm going to go with the evens on this. 4.3, yes, that's a big update for a lot of people. I'm going to be getting into that and breaking that down here very shortly because it's been the talk of the town from east to west. But there's a lot of neat things with this Note 3. If you haven't come over the Note series, these are going to continue to be dominant specs for the Note series. This is going to continue to be a powerhouse for the industry. I'm going to wait and see what the Note 4 says. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, the Moto X that came out, that's looking good. The new Nexus 7 is looking good. You know, various different things are coming up. But I'll be honest with you, folks. I am extremely content and satisfied with my Note 2. I love the battery power on it. I love the ability that it has for docking and MHL export and OTG usage and things like that. I'm extremely satisfied with my Note 2. You know, do I want the Note 3? The 3 gigs of RAM, that'd probably be pretty exciting. The extra processor, yeah, that'd be kind of exciting too. But it's not enough to thrill me to a point where I got to have it, you know? I mean, it's just, I'm not to that point yet, okay? I'm probably going to sit on the Note 2 for a little bit, see what happens. I am, however, excited for 4.3. I really am. CyanogenMod, the guys at CM10, have dubbed 10.2 as the Jelly Bean 4.3. They've been working on a nightly build. No official release on that yet. If you're in the developer community, you're rooted and ROMed, and you decide to put the 10.2 on your device, be careful. It is not official. There have been reports of occasional bricks and improper usability. Okay, so only do this if you're ready for it and you know what you're doing. I have considered it because there are some good reports that are coming out. But as it is not official yet, I'm still a little on the hedge, okay? There's both good and bad. It's one of those things, it's not a surefire thing yet. That's why it's still unofficial and it's a nightly. But they are making improvements on it, okay? Every day, every build gets a little bit better. And I'm just trusting the guys at Cyanogen Mod that they're going to get this hammered out before any of the other developers. Even before Samsung officially releases the 4.3 for the Note 2. Now, Samsung, earlier this week, they've been in the news quite a bit this week. They were accused of falsifying their benchmarks for the Galaxy S4. Here's the short story. Nitek got involved and said, oh, we benchmarked the Galaxy S4, and come to find out, they're overclocking. Well, the bottom line is, within the framework of the Android operating system, Samsung has embedded a code that says when we detect a particular type of app, we're going to automatically open up those processors and let them perform at the best capability. Okay? The short answer is, if you've ever been at work and your supervisor comes up and says, the regional director or regional manager or my boss's boss or my boss's 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 boss is coming in, make sure your area is cleaned up. It's the same thing, folks. Here's the really bottom line nitty-gritty about it. Samsung faked their processes. Get over it. Guys, if you can follow this story correctly, it happens. Okay? Folks do it. They want to make their product look the best. People are looking at the S4 and they're micro-scrutinizing Samsung, because they might have reported a loss, and they might be going down, and they're losing popularity, and the smart industry's reached a plateau. Okay, yes, sure. The folks that wanted to switch to a smart device switched. There's not as big of a smart move as there used to be. Okay, Samsung is going to have to get a little bit smarter when it comes to releasing their devices, because the high-end devices aren't going to go for the die-hard users because they've switched already. The low-end devices, they're not going to move at all. But the mid-range, you know, that's going to be a little bit of a wider stream here. Yes, they can design the framework of the Android operating system to where it reacts a particular way to a particular application for the simple fact that they want to make it look good. If it says the benchmark, guess what? You know, boom! Hey, we're going to pack everything out so we can get the best readings. It happens, okay? Nitek said, okay, well, you know, we can understand that. It was an official release back and forth, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Big deal. Samsung faked it. Move on, shall we? Bottom line is, Samsung wants their product to look good, just like every other device and every other manufacturer. They want their device to look good. So, of course, if they detect an app that is set for benchmarking, they're going to max out their CPUs. Okay, it's a simple thing. This is one of those things where some people want to get their panties in a twist for no apparent reason, and it's just going to go crazy. Alright, so here I am, I've already wasted like 7 minutes on the story, but I want to clarify this. It's no different from you being at work and your boss comes up or and says, my boss or my boss's boss or the VP of the company or the president of the company is coming by and we want to make it look good. They're just cleaning it up so they can get the best result, okay? They're trying to make their device look the best that it can, which is their right. It is. Why do you think I pre-record Trending Mobile Technology every week? So I can edit out all my mistakes and my goof-ups and my flubs, because I want to give you the best product that I can. All right, enough of this rant. Moving forward. First, I have an apology, and then I have a breakdown, being the Motorola Octa-Core monitoring system. Okay? It's actually a dual core for processing. 4 cores for graphics, 1 core for memory, and 1 core for sensors. Now, this is why I got upset about the Octa-Core, because it is kind of 8 processors at the same time. But I didn't realize what the process of each of the processors was. You have dual core, which we all know what dual core is. We have 4 for graphics, so you can get your HD and your Retina, well, not your Retina, but your HD display. We have 1 to monitor memory, active memory, and 1 for sensors. Now, in the Droids, in the new Moto X, in the Motorola devices, and I'm going to get into this here in a minute, you have that always-on, always-listening vocal processor. those of you that have been in and following some of these devices, hello Google Now is your activate. This device, these new lines of devices by Motorola, is a hands-free, hands-off device. It's constantly listening to you. So obviously, they've got to have a processor on there that's constantly listening, but not taking away from your battery. They're reporting 24 hours on the Moto X for battery use, okay? Which is, that's a pretty stout claim. You get somebody like me, though, who's going to be in there, yeah, I'm probably going to beat the heck out of it. It's going to take that 24 hours down and drop it down to like 16 or 18, a little bit more real. But, once again, I revert to my previous statement and say, I am still content with my Note 2. But nonetheless, I do have the specs for the new Moto X because that did release earlier this week and it's been broken down six different ways from Sunday. Currently running 422. The 4.3 is, it's not a Google exclusive device. Okay? But 4.3 is going to be pushed to the Moto X as soon as it's available to the public. And it's not going to be carrier restricted. It's supposed to be an OTA. Looking, once again, we've already talked about the X8 processor. 4.7-inch RGB 720p AMOLED. Now, remember, they're claiming 24-hour battery. So, there's going to have to be some sacrifices on this in order to get that 24 hours. So, therefore, they lowered the resolution a little bit. 720 display, you know, 10-megapixel clear camera lens in the back, two in the front. And continuing down, it's got that S4 1.7 dual core Crate CPU with your 320 GPU, that natural language processor, as we talked about already, because it's waiting for that. Okay, Google Now, you got 2 gigs of RAM, 130 grams, so remember your little paperclip analogy, 130 of those things, and it's got a 2200 milliamp battery. As I said, they're claiming 24 hours. I'm not exactly sure exactly how this is supposed to work out, but they are appropriating that with talk time, 13 hours straight talk time. It is designed to run on all the LTE, GSM, CDMA. It's got a quick flash. It's got a dedicated camera button. You got a 4x digital zoom, super slow-mo, burst mode, all these other different things. And you're looking at a 16 or 32 gig hard space. They're touting up to 500 different custom options with this. Remember how we're talking about it is manufactured in the United States, designed in Texas, all that kind of good stuff. 500 some odd different custom options. Now, you multiply that over the different carriers that it's on, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, US Cellular, you're looking at over 2,000. But the baseline is about 500 different options that you can get for the customizability of this device. It's got GPS, it's got a compass, you know, all that kind of good stuff. We've talked about it. Basic color is going to be black and white, and then you can move forward from there. This week we had a little bit of, it wasn't really disturbing, but we knew it was going to happen. LG, HTC, BlackBerry, Sprint, AT&T, and Microsoft all reported losses in their reports, but on the flip side, Sony, T-Mobile, Verizon reported profits. Now, my argument with this is with Sprint, because they just got all this money from SoftBank, and they're buying up all these little carriers. They bought up some Clearwire, they bought up, they got this thing going on with Ting, you know, they got all these MVNOs. What have they done to improve their network? Okay, because currently, Sprint is now number 4. In the race to LTE. They released an article through the Wall Street Journal citing that they have missed another deadline in their LTE rollout. And that's not going to do them any favors because they're supposed to be enforcing and keeping up. If they're supposed to be the number 3, you know, at this point in time, I hate to break it to you, but, yeah, sure, you might have the iPhone and the popularity, and you picked up Nextel and all that kind of good stuff, but you're doing nothing with your network to keep your customers. I have more people coming to me saying, Piper, what am I going to do with this? Well, if, you know, got to change your network. I hate to break it to you, but if you're not getting what you want, don't use it. There's options out there. I mean, yes, we Americans, we're spoiled with all our different options and our abilities and our capabilities. You know, we can choose what we want on a plan. We can choose what we want on a carrier. We get reasonable prices, and I'm sorry for you folks out there, but us Americans, we're spoiled because we get way too many choices. But the bottom line is, we have to have all these choices because some of our bottom choices really suck. I mean, that's just the bottom line to it. But some of the higher up choices, you know, you got to pay for them. Once again, folks, I've got T-Mobile. I'm happy with it. I'm going to move on from there. Additionally, earlier this week, the new release of 4.3 is taking away root capability. And this is something that came out from the AC. Security models have changed the way super user permissions are handled in Android 4.3. And I quote, "You've probably heard some chatter about the root and the latest version of Android, and maybe even heard things like the death of the root being thrown around. Things have changed. New security features in Android now limit what processes super user privileges can do with the system. I'll try to explain some of the best without throwing around too many words." And the article continues on. But here's the bottom line. The Android development community is hard at work to get everything sorted out, and there's a really good chance that root processing is going to be the same thing as it is root today. Okay? There's some different, for those of you that are they're rooters and ROMers like me, you usually use super user. Okay? Well, super user's getting a little bit twitchy, so then they were switching it over to SU Daemon. And now, apparently, that's having a little bit of problem. But the developer community is on this. Okay, remember a few weeks ago, I was talking to you about how Will Wheaton said he was having problems rooting his HTC One, and he put it out to the developer community, and now they made the Will Wheaton root process. Well, developer community is working on this to keep it the same way. Google knows that super users are out there. Rooters and ROMers, it's going to happen. That's why Android is what it is today. And Google knows this. Very good chance they'll address the issues somehow, you know, by requiring root for less things, you know, giving you developer compatibility. If you're running a Linux or an OS X, you know that, you know, you're going to have your home folder that you're going to have to edit and do things like that. There's going to be different things you're going to have to trim out. You know, developers at Sanogen Mod, they're going to continue working on it, and they're going to continue tweaking that firmware and the firmware on it, okay? So, be patient. 4.3 has not officially rolled out yet, but we're going to be getting there, okay? And once we get there, you know, I stick right here to Trending Mobile Technology. You guys that have been following me for a while, you know, I'm diehard on the developer side of it, okay? I really am. And unfortunately, this is going to really sound like it's more for geared toward Android. But I do have a Microsoft story here. Microsoft Office has hit Android phones. That's right. If you have the subscription pack and Microsoft Office and all that kind of stuff, it is available for your Android phone. Stop. Pump the brakes. Phone only. Not your tablet. Phone. Now, why is this? It makes kind of good sense. Microsoft doesn't want you to be able to utilize the Office package on your tablet because they want you to buy a Surface. Okay? I mean, why would they? Now, granted, they know, they've come to realize, they've got the understanding that they might not get the Android device out of your hand. I mean, they won't get mine. And old school, you can haze me over this all you want, that's fine. As soon as I get the studio set up, I'm going to have you in, and we're just going to go. All right? I mean, I know my anti-Microsoft stance isn't going to help people in the corporate space, all right? And I'm sorry. Microsoft recognizes this. They're making it available for you to utilize on your phone, not your tablet, because they want to keep that proprietary. On the flip side of this, if you have an individual like me who utilizes the cloud more than anything else, and this is going to come back to another discussion that Old School and I got into again concerning Dropbox versus Google Drive. For the beginning of this conversation, make sure you check out last week's episode, episode 45 of Trending Mobile Technology, which you'll find right here on the Trending Topics Network. Mr. Old School, sister show here from Old School at the Movies. Typically, you can find him on Thursday mornings. He says, and I quote, "A follow-up to your podcast, a.k.a. a Google Drive rant." And Mr. Old School says, "You said, in regards to uploading and downloading files using Drive, quote, Google Drive does it within the parameters of their operation," end quote. "I find this to be completely unacceptable on Google's end. They offer a PC client, and just syncing files crashes Windows Explorer. Not even talking about the file compatibility. I find the fact that they offer a Drive service, where I'm apparently supposed to only use their Google Doc format using a web browser, extremely idiotic. I thought Google was open, so how come I have to keep my stuff on their servers? Kind of closed-minded to me. For free, quick files that I need to put up and share," show quotes for a podcast, etc., "Drive is great. But for anything business-related or sync-wise, Dropbox all the way. Unless Drive can get more open-minded and start supporting PC operations, businesses will never take them seriously." And Old School, I tell you what, that is a great, very valid point. Very. Okay? I always love talking with Old School on different things, just for the simple fact that he brings a perspective of the corporate space. I haven't dealt with the corporate space very much in the past. Okay? When mobile technology came out, things got really different for me in the work space and employment and things like that. Old School, he deals with this every day. He is an information technologist. He is an information processor. He deals with these things. And I always respect his opinion when it comes in. Now, granted, his opinion is different from mine because he uses this on the prosumer side, while I use this on the consumer side. So there's a bit of a difference there. But at the same time, he does offer a very valid point. Now, my response to this, and I quote, "You bring up another very valid point. However, I must side with Google Drive in this because I can create a document in Google Drive utilizing my Chrome browser or my Android client. I can share it and edit it live with those I've shared the file. Additionally, anyone who I've granted sharing access can also edit this file as well, granted I've provided the permissions. To my knowledge, Dropbox allows sharing, but not live editing. Anybody out there, please feel free to correct me on this if I'm out of line." And I've utilized this option in Drive many times. Okay, granted with show notes and stuff like that, if I have a panel, it works great. But for school even, I was on a team of writers, and we all were on Gmail. Now, granted, there was one of them we had to convert over, but you know whether they still utilize this, I don't know. But we would all create a Google Drive file, and then we would share it with everybody else on the team. And at a particular time, we'd arrange a time, we'd all log into our Google accounts, and we'd edit this live. It's got the chat room there, so you can, do comments and stuff like that. And while one person is editing or typing, you can actually watch live while it's happening. You can design a hangout and do voice chats over the, over the phone or over the internet and stuff like that. So I've got to side with Google Drive on this. However, I can understand where Old School is coming from on this because the client syncability, all right? Client syncing. We're talking about where if you have a Windows box or a Mac box or a Linux box and you download the Google Drive sync client, and what that does is that sets up a portion of your hard drive on your local disk. Kind of like a briefcase for those of you from back in the day. Those of you XP users or 98 users, if you had a briefcase on your desktop, that's what that was. Throw your files in the briefcase, plug your thumb drive in, boom, the files sync over automatically, take the drive, go home, and you do your stuff at home. Same thing. Clients allow you to sync from one computer to another through the cloud. Google Drive doesn't do it well. I know that for a fact. But it's not a big deal for me, because all I have to do is modify my behavior a little bit, get rid of the client, access it through Chrome, and I'm done. Okay? That's the way I do it. Old school prefers to utilize the client, and I understand that. Once again, folks, I'm going to say it again. Does that make his way right and my way wrong? No. Does it make his way wrong and my way right? No. It's all in the way we utilize the service. And once again, old school, you and I, next time I have you on, you know, I'm getting within 2 weeks of having the studio up again. Next time I have you on, you and I are going to have this out. I can feel it. It's burning. It's going to go crazy. And I'm going to love every minute of it, because I always respect your opinion. I always respect your perspective, because I got a feeling I'm just going to wind up selling tickets to this thing. Just for the simple fact, it's going to be crazy. So I still have, you know, questions, concerns about the Dropbox versus Google Drive, SkyDrive, Mega, you know, all the cloud resources that are out there. So I took it to Piper's Tech Talk, and I asked the following. Google Drive, Dropbox, iCloud, SkyDrive, or an other cloud resource. Of the above cloud services, what do you use most and why? Please describe your experience in brief. I got one response off it. Curly Joe. She says, I use all four. I use SkyDrive to share pictures with my parents. Dropbox was draining my battery, trying to pull all the time from my phone. But Google Drive, I store files that I need for work. And iCloud, I use to back up iPad and iTunes. Now, this is an individual who is utilizing the best of all services for her environment. Okay? Consumer Reports, once again, they have a great big thing, a great big article that they produced, and I'm going to probably break them down here very shortly concerning top devices. And they continually say that from 1 year ago, instead of consumers picking a side, whether it be Android, whether it be iOS, whether it be Mac, whether it be PC, they're picking the best of all worlds. Recent survey conducted by Pew Research, matter of fact, more individuals, greater than 30% of individuals, are carrying more than one device brand, meaning they have an Android or an iOS, they have an Android or a Windows, Android and Mac. They're carrying more devices. And that is a big transition, because the consumer is seeing what works. The consumer is recognizing what works for them. Matter of fact, Consumer Reports also went out and they surveyed individuals asking, between smartphone and tablet, how do you utilize your device? 73% said they use their smartphone for email, while 49% said tablets. 72% said they use their smartphone for texting, while 10% said tablets. 62% said they check the weather on their smartphone, while 39% said tablets. 27% said smartphones, 36% said tablets for games, and then reading books and magazines was 11% for smartphone and 38% for tablet. So majority of your individuals are using either email or the weather. I mean, that's just, statistically speaking, the bottom line. Battery life is improving. They also went out and they surveyed the big four, which at this point are recognized as Verizon, Sprint, T-Mobile, and AT&T in no particular order. And the top five respective, at the time of this of publication, top five respective is the Samsung Galaxy S4, HTC One, Samsung Galaxy S3, Apple iPhone 5, and the Samsung Galaxy Note 2. A pretty broad margin. I mean, you know, if you look at it, we look at Verizon, Galaxy S4, you're looking at 79%, Motorola Droid Razr Max HD, 79%, Motorola Droid Razr HD, 77%, Samsung Galaxy S3, 76%, and the Droid Razr M, 75%. Now, the Razer M is currently free on subsidy. But that's the top five for Verizon. Sprint, you got the Samsung Galaxy S4, the LG Optimus G, which is a major competitor for the Note 2, HTC One 32GB, 77, Samsung Galaxy S2, 76, Apple iPhone 5, 75. Now, also on the 75 percentile is the Note 2, which is number 6 for Sprint. But the thing you need to understand, and I've already had this conversation concerning Sprint, if Sprint doesn't do something to redeem themselves very quickly, they're going to wind up going out the door. They're not helping their network at all. Yeah, sure, they're adding smaller, they added all this side of Clearwire and things like that. They've got this money from SoftBank. But if they don't do something to bolster their network and make it better, step it up to the times, they are not going to get anywhere. And then AT&T, Samsung Galaxy S4, the LG Optimus G, HTC One, Samsung Galaxy S3, and the iPhone 5. Now remember, iPhone 5 is currently on a good rollout. Okay, it's improving, it's getting better. The new iOS is supposed to be doing a lot of good things for it. But the iPhone, the new iPhone 5S, iPhone 6, whatever it's going to be, they're explaining, or Apple is leaking, a bigger screen. And everybody's going, well, why don't we just update the iPhone or the iPad mini to keep up with the Nexus 7? Which, by the way, side note commercial, yeah, I know ADHD's in hardcore today. The Nexus 7 it's the next biggest thing when it comes to tablets. Everybody, they like the slim, it's sexy, it's big, it's a tablet, it can fit in your back pocket. A lot of people are saying, oh yeah, I like it. It looks sharp. It's nice. The thing that I'll hold against it doesn't have an SD card, but, we can get around that, I think. 4.3 also starting to roll out on a lot of devices. Big thing is it's rolling out to Project Nexus. And it started making its way out to the original Nexus 7. Now, if you've been a Nexus 7 user and you're noticing your device slowing down, here's why. The older Android operating systems literally are fragmenting themselves. Now, quick side note, I don't have the new numbers yet for the month. I know it's beginning of August. Those will be coming out later on this week. I haven't found them yet. They haven't popped up in any of my boxes, but I'll be getting those probably next week. Moving forward, 4.2 has literally a fragmentation problem. 4.1, same thing. Even going back to Gingerbread, devices weren't lasting that long. People were updating their devices within a year. Okay, now they're lasting 2, 3, 4 years. Nexus 7, yeah, sure, it's only a year old. People were loading it up with video, though. Now, also remember, this problem only affects non-rooted. Now, am I telling you all that you need to root? No, I'm not. Okay? Do not root your device unless you know what you're doing, because you will seriously mess up your device. If you're rooted, all you got to do is boot into your recovery mod, wipe everything out, and then you can start over again. Non-rooted people, though, the problem is, if you load a movie, we'll say, on your device, and then you delete it, that's fine, but you're going to fragment your hard space. 4.3 introduces a new concept called trim into your operating system. What trim does, when it recognizes that your device is asleep or not doing anything, or you're sleeping, or it's been still for a while, it kicks in this process. And what it does is, if you're an old school XP user, or a 98 user, or 95 user, you'll know what this is. Disk defragmentation. Okay, remember that from the days of the PC before Unix was all hardcore and everything like that? Yeah. Trim goes through the space within your tablet or your phone and it reorganizes the free space so that it can efficiently access the information on your device. Now, once again, remember, this benefits non-rooted users. Rooted users, you know how to get around this without any problem. You can wipe and rewrite, wipe and rewrite, wipe and rewrite all day long, provided the fact you're resetting your counters. But Trim support is designed to give the consumer, the average consumer, non-rooted average consumer, the ability to do the exact same thing that rooters can do, except they don't have to wipe all their information. It's built into the operating system, so it's going to do it automatically. It's going to free up that space. Reporters, an article came out by the Android Police, Nexus 7, the older Nexus 7, big, huge, major problems, lagging, slowing down, stuff like that. Did a force load, a 4.3, starting to see improvements. Okay, I mean, I'm not going to say it's a night and day, but that Trim support went through, it did its thing, it took it a while, it worked its way in, worked its way through, above, around, up, over, take your pick. 4.3 is a good thing. Trim support, organizing your free space, another good thing. I mean, those of you folks who remember back in the days of Windows 98, Windows XP in the early days, you had to run your defragmentation process. Otherwise, your device couldn't keep up. Your laptop, your computer, whatever. It couldn't keep up. It couldn't do it. A lot of you people, if you worked in the IT or you worked in a desktop space, you set your computer up to do this automatically while you weren't there because it was pretty processor intense too. I mean, I remember back in the days of 333 Celeron, folks. Okay? 333 Celeron is what I did. I could do one, maybe two things at the same time. And once I put XP on there, you had to utilize the process correctly. Okay? You run it in the background. Run it while you're not doing anything else. It's going to get done a lot quicker. Trim support does the exact same thing. It frees up your free space. It puts all your free space together and says, okay, this is what we've got. Now, those of you who have SD and you're saying, oh, well, you know, Trim's, it's doing this. SD card, you can pop that out, pop that into a PC or Mac, wipe the whole thing out, and then reload it, okay? Trim support is supposed to utilize both the ROM image and the SD. It's supposed to use both, okay? So, once again, it's giving that memory access, making it available to the average non-rooted user as well to the rooted user. New device reviews are in for the year so far, coming through to August 2013. As far as big screen goes, Galaxy Note 2 obviously is dominating the scene, just for the simple fact the Optimus G Pro hasn't been out enough. But I have a feeling, you know, you got your diehard Note users that are out there, and you've got people that are just wanting to see the Note 2 knocked off its pedestal. They're wanting to see Samsung get knocked down a couple notches. Enter the LG Optimus Pro. Yeah, spec for spec, then LG is going to be pretty hard pressed to knock my Note 2 off its perch. Okay, best BlackBerry device to date. You're looking at the BlackBerry Z10, currently running $200 on contract, and the HTC Windows Phone X is beating out the Nokia Lumia 920 at this point. So kind of raise your eyebrows a little bit. HTC is beating Nokia. Yeah, but HTC still reported a loss because even though they're selling, they're not selling enough. And once again, in the smaller space, Samsung Galaxy S4, Motorola Droid, Razer Max, iPhone 5, LG Optimus G, and the HTC One dominating the scene top 5. Moving on to the tablet space, however, Samsung Galaxy Note 8, iPad Mini, Google Nexus 7, this is the old version, the iPad 16GB, and the Samsung Galaxy Tab 2 rounding out the top 5. Now, this does not include the new Nexus 7, but a lot of people are saying the new Nexus 7 is the next best thing. Haven't seen a breakdown putting it against some of these other popular brands, but overall, with the new Nexus 7 being a Retina device, this is going to be a challenging market. I'm interested to see what the end of the year lineup is going to be. As far as reading and movies, Top four, you're looking at the Kindle HD 8.9, you're looking at the Barnes & Noble Nook HD, and you're looking at the Kindle Fire HD. Best overall for work, they're looking at the Samsung Ativ Smart PC and the Microsoft Surface RT. Basically, main reason for this is because of its syncability and its integration to the Microsoft space. And with your, obviously, tablets, they're becoming smarter and smarter because now they've got LTE capability built into them. And the 9 to 12 inch tablet screen, you got 3G, 4G, and Wi-Fi capability. Topping the list is the iPad, looks like the fourth generation Samsung Note 10.1, the Asus VivoTab, which, by the way, Asus has a new pad phone that's going to be coming to the States. For those remember, think back, Asus, they tried to put out a pad phone before. That was the dockable phone that went in. You could put it into a docking station. They're going to try and push that through to the United States again. How it's going to stand up against the Note 2, because, you know, I'm going to have a docking station for the Note 2, and trust me, folks, once the studio gets set up again, I am definitely going to be doing a walkthrough on this, because it's going to be, I'm going to be able to set it up the way that I want to. And I'm loving it already. I'm drooling. I'm foaming at the mouth over this just to get it, to get what I want out of this. And I want to be able to show everybody what it's going to be able to do and what I've got. But rounding out the 3G, 4G, you've got the Samsung Galaxy Tab 2, the Dell Latitude, and the Apple iPad 2. Once again, this is before the new Nexus came out. A lot of people talking, you know, the new Nexus is going to be, you know, with an LTE. I mean, it's hitting hardcore. It's hitting big. The fact that it's got the new 4.3 on it, and it's got a lot of heads turning. It's got a lot of diehard Apple users, and I've talked to quite a few in different spaces. It's got a lot of your diehard Apple users kind of raising their eyebrows. You know, once again, I've said this is the second week in a row, the trend has changed. It's coming around to the situation where people are getting the best of all worlds. And old school and I went about this, that, you know, right about a year ago, if I'm not mistaken. It might have been a little bit less than a year ago. But he said, dude, get out of your small thinking. And I recognize that. You know, you can't limit yourself to one ecospace. Now, some people, yeah, they have that luxury, okay? And I did it once. I did it, I believe, for a month, maybe 2 months. I proprietized myself into the Android space, and I didn't like it because some of the options that I had weren't available to me, okay? So then I went back to my Android and Mac system, and I went back into, you know, am I ever going to get into the iPad? Probably not. I mean, now, I still have this challenge facing me of introducing the iPad ecosystem to my space for a time, okay? And am I actually going to get into that sometime? Just to lay the naysayers to rest, it's probably likely, okay? It's one of those things, if you never try it, you'll never know if you'll like it. And I just might. The problem that I run into this, though, is iOS and the iCloud syncability doesn't work for me, okay? The fact that iCloud still doesn't function the way that it's supposed to kind of runs me into a bit of a quandary, okay? If it's out there, it's got to work. It goes back to the Dropbox Google Drive thing that old school and I are going back and forth about. Dropbox works for him in the way that he wants it to. Google Drive works for me the way that I want it to. And once again, old school, you and I were going to go round and round about this. I know. Episode 50 is coming up, folks. And just so that you're all aware, I'm putting some changes in. I'm bringing some changes around to Trending Mobile Technology. I'm going to bring some different things around. I'm going to be, as Vince McMahon would say, we're going to shake things up. Well, yeah, I'm going to change things up. I'm going to switch them around a little bit. Bring some different stuff in. You know, make sure you're checking us out. TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Make sure you're following us. We got great shows that are coming in all the time. Spanish Announce Table with Captain Awesome and T-Mac. We got Old School at the Movies with his panel of critics coming down from Canada. We got Trending Mobile Technology. We're going to be bringing back the real news. You know, Jack and Brian have their stuff that are coming out. And Brian, I know you sent me something in the mailbag. Only one, Mark. I know you guys sent me some stuff in the mailbag. But my 30 minutes is up, guys. I gotta get moving on. I'm trying to save up some time and some space so that I can be able to utilize the extra time later on when I've got other stuff going on. But make sure you check it out, folks. This is Trending Mobile Technology. I'm Piper the DJ. This is episode 46. We're marching on. Episode 50 is going to be epic. It's going to be bringing in some new things to the show on a regular basis. I want to thank you all for hanging out with me so far. I am Piper the DJ.
Good night.